So good to have all of you here this morning, especially our visitors. And I just recognize a young man in the congregation, Brother Elbert Hollowell, Reverend Elbert Hollowell, and his beautiful wife. So glad to have y'all. It's been years since I've seen you, and Brother Elbert still is a tremendous blessing in my life over the years. And when I was younger and just learning and growing in the ministry, he was there for me. You know, God will put people in your path to help your way, to keep you in the right way, and he certainly was one of those and taught me a lot. And love you, Brother Elbert. Appreciate you being here today. Amen. We appreciate you. He still looks good. Amen. Got his teeth and hair and everything. Amen.
You know what? I feel just as good as I look.
You do. He's a preaching man too. Amen. So good to have all of you today. All of our visitors, thank you for coming today. We're just glad to have you. I want you to come back. If you don't have a church home, we'd certainly like for you to give us an opportunity to minister to you and take care of your needs. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah, if you will, this morning. Lord willing, we want to conclude our series that we've been working on in Jeremiah. We've been talking about that little word in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We've been dealing with the series of when God paused. We've been looking at a little word in there, and I believe every single word in the Bible is inspired of God. Every word. I believe every word has a purpose. I do not believe that any word was put in there that did not have a purpose. And this one little word, so, over the last few weeks, we pray that we've been laying a foundation for you. The God's God would begin to lead to me because we begin to talk about the potter. We've been talked about how wonderful our God is. You know, I can get lost in that. I can just spend days upon months and upon years about how wonderful and how awesome our God is. And I believe if I did it every day for the rest of my life, it still would not even touch how wonderful and how great a God we serve. We serve an awesome God. And I want to tell you, I love him today. It's not about religion. I've learned religion is dead and religion will leave you dead. But it's about a relationship of a God who loves us so much. And the only reason that Jeremiah is receiving this word of prophecy here is because we serve a God of relationship. You know the history. We've talked about it over the last few weeks. How that we talked about, first of all, the potter's method. God told Jeremiah to go, and I'm going to show you a potter. I'm going to show you something. God spoke to him without even saying a word. God can do that. God is so awesome that he can speak to you and not even use a word. But he said, I want you to go to a potter. So we talked about the method. You remember what the method was? That there was a wheel there. And that wheel represents our life. It represents circumstances. And there are things in our life that we just simply do not understand. There are things in our life that catch us by surprise. Many of our lives, you know, we plan our lives and we say this is how it's going to turn out. And we make all these vows and all these promises, and then things happen. Things just happen. And we don't know why. And we wonder, God, where are you? And on the whole time, he's never left us nor forsaken us. Because I want you to understand that the potter does have a method. When you were born into this world, you were born with a purpose. And we talked about last time about the mind of the potter. That not only did he have a purpose, but when he put that clay on the potter's wheel, he had you in his mind. He had a purpose on his mind. And I want you to understand today that we were created by a mighty God for a purpose. And I want to share, I really feel, last night I felt strong in this, and I want to share it with you now. I said it last week, but let me reiterate it. God made you and put you here on this earth to make an impact in somebody's life. God put you here to make a difference. You say, what kind of difference can I make? Oh, you don't realize who you're talking about. You're talking about a person who's been wonderfully made by a mighty God. There is something in you that is so unique so wonderful, so beautiful that God made you, only you, and nobody else can be you. Isn't that awesome? You are a mighty instrument of God. And you know what I've learned about God? It's not so much what we say. You know, we can be like Moses and say, I don't know anything, God. I don't really have a lot of knowledge. I stutter when I talk. And I really, you know, all through the Bible, God used people in the Word who were not perfect, who had flaws in their life, who had problems in their life. But at the right place, at the right time, they made a difference. And I believe that God is so ordained this time. You say, well, there's some things that's happened in my life I'm not so sure is God. There's some things that's happened in my life that has brought a lot of pain, a lot of tears. You don't know my life. If you could sit down with me and let me explain to you, how in the world can you tell me that's God? Well, you know what? There are questions in life that I can't answer. But I can tell you this. There's a God who has an awesome, listen, an awesome keeping power. He will hold us and keep us when we are about at the point that we're going to lose our mind. Have you ever been to that point? That you almost, you know, one more thing. Remember last week I said, one more phone call. One more word, I'm going to lose it. But there's a God who's holding us in his hand, who's taking care of us. You say, well, you know, I've never really been real spiritual. It's funny when people start describing God. I've never been real spiritual. I don't go to church much. You know. Can I say this? I might blow some of you away, but God's not always interested in all that. What God is interested in is your heart. Because he's a God that whether I come to this building or not, he's my God. He's a God that I just don't have church on Sunday morning. I have church every day. You want to know why? Because the presence of God promised me he will never leave me nor forsake me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the atmosphere that we got in here would be that way every day? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in an atmosphere where there wasn't any problems? You know, we're all coming here. We all cleaned up. We all took showers today. We cleaned up. We combed our hair. We're looking pretty good. Look to the woman beside him and say, you look pretty good today. Amen. You look pretty good. I know that was hard for some of you. I know that was hard. But, you know, by faith, sit by faith, you look good today. Amen. You look good. You know, this is an organized atmosphere. You know, we've kind of laid out the atmosphere. But sometimes life isn't that way, is it? Sometimes life is, you know, you plan your day. I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there. One phone call, one instant can change it all. But the God that we serve, Israel was in a mess here. Israel had fallen away from God. Josiah was dead, and now they were just doing their own thing. You know, sort of like America, we all just do our own thing. Then we get in a mess, and we say, God, come help me out of it. Anybody ever been like that? I'm going to do what I want to do. Then we go do it, and we get messed up. But anyhow, they were in a mess. But God, listen. Mess is a Wayne County term for a lot of problems, okay? That's what mess means. They were in a mess. They had a lot of problems. But God doesn't leave us. Can I tell you this? Listen, God does not leave us when we have problems. Isn't it amazing, your friends? Amen? You wanna thin the herd? You want to thin the herd of your friends? Start having problems. Then they'll just fade away. But the God that we serve doesn't leave us. So that's what we've been talking about so far. But today, I want to get into the meat that I believe that God wanted Jeremiah to understand. I want to talk about the third thing. I want to talk about the mission of the potter. As we said here in chapter 18, I love this. And it said in verse 4, in the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Now that's the meat of what's been trying to be said. Now, the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. Stay with me now. There's an anointing in his word this morning that I want you to get. There's some things I want you to get here It was marred. The clay was marred. But it was still in his hand. Because it was marred, he didn't throw it away. What was the mission? What's the mission of the potter? There was a flaw in the material, but the pattern was perfect. But there was a flaw in the material. You see, here is the meat of what God wants to tell Jeremiah. There's some theology getting ready to be taught here. When God created Adam, he created him in a perfect environment. Everything was perfect, but yet you know the story, you're Bible scholars. Adam sinned against God, and it distorted everything God had planned. Hold your bookmark here. We're going to go back to Jeremiah, but now I want you to go to the book of Romans. And I love the book of Romans. I get lost in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. God describes some things here that we need to see. Flaw in the material. Ask yourself a question right now. Do I have any flaws? Do I have any flaws in my material? How many of you know that sometimes these flaws hinder us? Sometimes because we are flawed, we feel like that we don't have anything to offer. I know a lot of people who have gone through bad marriages or gone through bankruptcy or gone through situations in life that they had absolutely no control of. They feel that they are marred for the rest of their life. Some of you may be sitting here today, and I believe that God allowed you to come for this such a time because he wanted you to hear this, but maybe something's happened in your life that you just feel like has marked you. You know what the problem is? Most of us stop living at the incident that crushed us. Stay with me now. Most of us stop living at the instance that crushed us. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was a bankruptcy. Whatever. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a death. But whatever, we stop at that point of living. And at that point, we begin to identify our life with that point. I want you to know this. God never throws broken things away. Men will throw you away if you're broken. Men will only use you when you're usable. Have you ever been in life where you wasn't usable? Have you ever been in life where you just felt like the whole world had caved in on you? And I'm going to tell you something. Depression is a real deal. Depression, you know, people say, oh, just get over it. I'm so glad that our God is not insensitive to our needs and he doesn't say, oh, just get over it. Because how many of you know there are things in life we can't get over by ourselves? Can you say amen to that? Amen. There are things that we just don't have the ability. So what we do, we quit living. We stop. We say, I'm just a divorcee. Oh, I'm just a failed businessman. You know, I made some wrong decisions and I lost my business. Oh, I lost so-and-so to death. Or I made some decisions in life that just flawed me. And from now on, that's all I'm going to be recognized as. Can I tell you this? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Your life did not stop right then. You still got life. And you want to know why? We serve a God who will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We serve a God who will be the fourth man in the fire. We serve a God that will even go to the lion's den. But he will not leave you. The clay was marred in his hand, but it was still in his hand. Hallelujah. He did not let it go. He did not throw it away. And I'm so glad, because I know there's been times in my life I should have been thrown away, but he loved me more than what I was at that time. You want to know why? Because he knew that was not who I really was. He had something in his mind that was better for me. And though I went through that, he did not leave me there. Thank God for an awesome God like that. He loved me even when I was unlovable. Look at what he says here in Romans 5, verse 17. For by one man's offense, what he's talking about here is Adam, when Adam messed up. Death here talking about separation from God, reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace. You know what the word abundance there means? More than I even need. More than I, he loves me more when I'm in trouble. Proverbs said, a brother's born for adversity and a friend loves at all times. God loves you more when you're in trouble. But I'm not good. I'm not good. I made some bad decisions. There's just some things in my life. I'm just not a good church person. Wonderful. God loves people like that. Because he wasn't much of a church person either. He didn't go but twice in his life. Amen. Let me tell you something. These clothes and these buildings and all this stuff, it's not who we are. We are people. Every one of us have needs. Every one of us have problems. Amen. And if you don't think you got a problem, you got a big problem. We need to work something out. We can talk, because you got a problem. Amen. And God said, I'm not about exterior. I'm about interior. Because I know interior, when you get that right, exterior falls in line. Amen. God loves you. It was marred. Look what he said. Death came by one man, but the abundance, more than what you need. God loves you more. Well, I don't, you know what? You base your love of God based on love of others. Do you know there are some people that have a hard time loving God because maybe their father didn't love them. Or maybe some man figure in their life didn't love them. Or maybe some man figure promised a lot of things and didn't live up to it or whatever. But you know, we base sometimes our love, or God's love for us, on how somebody else loves us. But God said the abundance, more than you need. What does that mean? What do you mean more than what I need? You see, because God knows what I need tomorrow. And I'm trying to get through the day, but he knows what I need tomorrow. And when I get up in the morning, guess what? There's an almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful God who has already ordained my steps and made provisions for me. Is anybody here will say amen to this one statement, that God has took care of you in times in your life when you saw it was just almost impossible, but God made a way? Can I get an amen for that? Amen. God made, what was that? That's the abundance of grace. Did I deserve it? No. Did I earn it? No. Am I good enough for it? No. But he don't love me based on if I'm good enough. Because guess what? If I was good enough, I wouldn't be here today. Because I wouldn't be good enough. I'm not good enough to stand in this pulpit today. This is holy ground. This is holy ground. I'm not good enough to do this. But he loves me beyond what I am, because in his mind, he knows what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. And he's got a mission for me. And he said, You see, I get carried away. I can't never finish reading nothing. They which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Righteousness. What's that? Righteousness shall reign, rule, shall rule in life by one, Jesus Christ. Righteousness is a beautiful work that God does in our lives based on his love totally. I can't work good enough to be. You remember a few weeks ago I said, you know, when we all try to be good, you know, we're going to really try to be good. I'm getting up in the morning. I'm going to be good today. And before you get to work, somebody done cut you off or somebody pulled in your Walmart parking place. Amen. God, I'm trying to be good. Because we can't. God does that stuff because he said, I got to show you, hardhead. You can't. You can't be good enough. But I'm really trying to be good. Anybody here? Y'all laughing because y'all know I'm telling the truth. Ain't none of y'all going to say nothing. I ain't going to look over there. I ain't going to say nothing. But I know there's days I'm trying to be good. And by the end of the day, we crawl out of the office. We roll into the car. And we just pray that we get home. Amen. That was the day we were going to be good. Lord help us. Lord help us. And God lets us see you can't do it by yourself. Well, what does it mean then? Righteousness is a beautiful gift that God gave us solely based on love, and it puts us in a position. The position is just as if I'd never sinned. The position is he loves me based on his righteousness, not based on who I am. He gave me that gift. That's why you can pray to him. Some people say, well, I'm not good enough to pray. I'm not good enough to pray. I don't really go to church that much, and I'm just not really good enough to pray. Don't listen to that lie. God loves you more when you're in trouble. And God wants you to call on him. Any of you got children today? If you had a child and that child's going through something, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know? I mean, they might live in Alaska somewhere, but you still want to know because you love them. Now you think, take that love and just magnify it a million times, and that's how much God loves you. Can your child ever do anything that you wouldn't love them? Well, I might not agree with everything they do, but that's my boy. Anybody ever said that? I don't agree with everything they do, but I love them. They're mine. I will whoop them, but you better not. Amen. Amen. Because you love them that much. And God says, I love you more than that. Now, I'm lost at this point right here because I couldn't give my son. I'm going to be honest. I ain't going to say, well, you know, I'd have to pray about it. No, I ain't got to pray about it. I couldn't give my son. But he did. Why? So that I could come to him when I'm in trouble and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Look at verse 18. Can y'all give me about another hour? I just lost half of you right there. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Condemnation. Now hold your finger right there. I get lost in this word now. Go turn the page and go to chapter 8. Go to chapter 8 in the book of Romans, verse 1. You see there is therefore. Did you know the word therefore is a very powerful word in the Word of God? Therefore. You know what therefore means? Without contradiction. It means without deliberation. It means there's no discussion. It means God said it, he'll do it, that settles it. So with that in mind, there is therefore now no condemnation. You see that? To them who are in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Isn't that beautiful? Now go back to chapter 5. It said in verse 18 that man brought condemnation on us. But look, let me finish reading verse 18. And by the righteous of one, the free gift, you see that, came upon all men to the justification of faith, justification of life. That's a beautiful gift that God gave us. So the mission of the potter was, we got flaws. But a master can take flawed. You take a cook, a real cook. Amen. A real cook. A real cook. That you get revelation on that in a little while. Can take, you know, I'm no cook. I'm not even gonna stand up here and lie about that. But you know, I can read directions, and you take a cake mix, you know, box, and you mix and you do all that stuff it tells you to do. I don't even know if it'll look good, but I can make it. But a master cook can take raw ingredients and make some. You remember how grandmas and all used to do? They took hardly nothing and made a great old meal, big meal out of it. You remember that? Well, you see, a master can take something that's flawed and make something beautiful out of it. And God looked down on us. God paused. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to Jeremiah. I love preaching to y'all. Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to try to close this. I love this part right here. You see, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4. It was marred in the hand of the potter. It was messed up. It was messed up. Everybody else would have thrown it away. So, there's that little word, so. That word so means opportunity. Well, it looks like you're going to lose your job, so. It looks like the doctor has given up on you, so. It looks like you're going to lose it all. It looks like you're going to lose it all, so. What do you mean, so? Let me finish. He, the master carpenter, the God of the universe, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm talking about the one who stood where there was nowhere to stand. You remember in the beginning, there was God. He stood where there was nowhere to stand because there was nowhere to stand, and spoke where there was nowhere to speak because there was nowhere to speak. And God said, let there be. And a world came into existence. That's an awesome God. That same God said right here, so he made it another. I want to leave that with you. He didn't take that clay, and that's the last thing I'm going to leave with you today, the miracle. The miracle of the potter. He took it and made it another. I want to share this with you in closing today. You're not some scarred, messed up, got problems so far that you just can't be used. But I want to tell you there's a God who is so awesome that will take you where you're at and come to where you're at. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, when I get my life right, I'm going to go to church. When I get my life right, I'm going to do this for God. When I get my life right, well, you never will. Never will. You want to know why? Because as I said before, we can't do this. It has to be God. But God can take you where you are and make it another. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I want to say this to you. The God that we serve is a miracle working God. He made it another vessel. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I want you to bow your heads where you're at. Come play for us. I thank you for your attention today. So he made it another. I don't know where you're at right now in your life. I don't know what you're going through, what you've been through. But I know there was a reason why God wanted this message to be brought out. He wanted it to be brought out to give you some encouragement, to let you know that there's a possibility of change. That there is the God of the second chance. The God who can turn things around. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for the ability and the anointing to deliver this word. Thank you for the potter. And thank you that you never gave up on us. And I pray, God, today that you would move on your people in such a way that they would realize that we are the ambassadors of hope, that we serve a God that can give the second chance. And Lord, if there is someone here today that is struggling with past or struggling with a situation right now, I pray, God, you'll encourage them. As your heads are bowed, no one looking around, if you're here today and you say, I've been struggling with some things and I just need some prayer. I just need some help. I need some guidance. I need some help. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. I won't go to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't do anything like that. I just want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand? Thank God for those hands. 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 Thank you so much for raising those hands. You know what? God sees that too, and God's going to take care of it. As I said before, I don't believe in embarrassing you. I don't believe in anything like that, but I just want you to know there's a God that's able to take care of you. So you know what? I just feel for the last several Sundays, I've asked you to come to the altar, but today I just feel doing things a little different. I want you to make right where you are an altar, because I want you to know that God will go with you where you're at. He will come to where you are. You may be home this afternoon, washing dishes or sitting in your favorite chair, and God will come and visit you right there. That's the kind of God that we serve. Every one of you that raised your hand, what I want you to do is take the hand of the one beside of you. Will you just reach out and take the one hand of the one beside of you? Everybody that will, just take your hand of the one beside of you. Now, everyone that's not holding a hand, I want you to grab somebody's hand. I want you to grab somebody's hand, and I want us to have prayer. And I want us to pray for the hands that we're holding. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer today for the hands that we're holding. God, we pray today that you will visit them where they are and that they will recognize, God, that you are God and that you are able to take care of the situation. Lord, I know there's some hurt. I know there's pain. I know there's heartache. But you're the God of the second chance. And you're the God that can take brokenness and put it back together. Father, I pray as they have reached out and took somebody's hand today as a point of contact, I pray, God, they won't forget this message. And I pray it will ring in their hearts. And when the enemy begins to tell them, well, you're just this and you're just that, let them come back and say, so God is able to change things. So God is able to change things. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Real quick, I want you to turn to the one beside of you and say, so. That may not mean nothing right now. But down life's road, it's going to mean something. And I want to say this to you. You're beautiful people because God made you beautiful. And God is going to take you further than you've ever been before. You say, how do you know that? You don't even know me. I know God. I know what he's done for me. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. He loves you. It's not based again on how much you love him or whatever. You know what? If I never love him another day, it don't stop him from loving me. He's going to love me. So he made it another. God bless you for being here today. Hug somebody's neck. Come back again. Be with us. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Amen.